The title of the message tonight is A Deeper Level of Faith. I'm going to go through and share several passages of Scripture. And as I do, I'm also going to share some things the Lord had kind of passed along to me about all this. The whole concept of faith has been really watered down over the years to the point to where living by faith, it's almost like it's come to mean, well, yeah, I believe in God. And I do believe that the Bible is true. So therefore, I'm living by faith. That is only a beginning. It just goes so much further. I'd like you to open first to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And the verse we're going to read, all the verses we're going to read tonight, you know, we've read them in the past, different applications, different sermons, so on and so forth, but this one, as time goes by, it's having more and more of an impact on me. And right along with that, just to kind of give you a heads up, at the end of the sermon tonight, I'm going to share with you the one book of the Bible that is the deepest, most meaningful, and I guess you could say meatiest book of all of them. It's the one book that if you get it down, you will be changed. And I'll share that book with you at the end. And that's the hook. That'll get you to stay around and keep watching, won't it? Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus was being tempted by the devil, but he makes this statement and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't know that the impact of that verse really hits us. I can honestly tell you, I feel like that I'm just now beginning to understand the depth of that verse. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that literally means that God's expectations are, we're going to live by whatever we see in Scripture. And we will not argue or debate its validity. Now that right there is critical. Now, I want you to think for a moment. In the New Testament, what we're reading, just say from Acts on, what we're reading is a recording of what happened. Now, I realize, you know, people wrote these things. You know, Paul wrote it, the letters and so forth. But the letters that were written by Paul and James and all the rest of them, those letters were a reflection of what was going on. So we can kind of figure out what was happening in the church world based upon what we read that they have written. Now, when it comes to these guys that were teaching these things, whether it's John, whether it was Matthew or Thomas or Paul or any of them, they did not have a problem with what is written. Now think with me. They did not have what was written. They were in the process of writing what was written. So when they would stand up in front of a church and begin to teach, they couldn't tell the church, turn to 1 Corinthians. Hadn't been written yet. You know, turn to 1 Peter. Hadn't been written yet. They didn't have any of this. What they would do is stand up and teach the people, and let me kind of put it in my terms, folks, we want to share with you tonight more of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And then they would begin to teach these things. They had absolutely no problem teaching divine healing, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, all of these things. They had no problem teaching it at all. But as the years have gone by, the church in general has analyzed with human mind and reasoning based upon human experience, void of interaction with the divine, and come to a conclusion, well, here's what this means. And they completely miss that God simply said, you're to live by every word that's proceeded out of my mouth. That includes what I put in here. If you read it in here, do not analyze. If you read it in here, do not debate. Don't change it. If you read it in here, you are to live by it. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now what that means is, I'm supposed to have faith. Well, I know that. And in fact, look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And pick this up, just a couple of verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm supposed to live by faith. I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Back in the days when all of this was happening, before it was actually written for our benefit, they would stand up and they would teach these things. Now, they had no problem at all teaching any of these things. However, we have the sum total, the written sum total of what they taught. Here it is. Now, that means I'm supposed to live by this. Living by this, what is recorded here in Scripture, means I'm living by faith. It also means I'm living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You understand the concept? And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, what we do is we actually today, we argue and even split over the things written in the Word of God. When that happens, that means it's impossible for us to be living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and it's impossible for us to live by faith. Now, let me just kind of put a broad statement over this. If I believe anything that is opposite of what has been recorded here in the Word, it is impossible for me to live by faith. Because I'm supposed to be living by every word that proceeds. Therefore, I cannot go through and say, well, okay, you know, this thing about laying on hands and healing, okay, now that's not for today. Then I can't live by faith. You say, well, you can live by all the faith that comes from what you believe in. Do what? Man's supposed to be living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, and man's supposed to be living by faith. Therefore, as a Christian, if I'm going to live by faith, I do not have the option of picking and choosing what I want to live by or what I want to believe and accept concerning what God has said here in His Word. From Genesis to Revelation, I keep it in context. I accept it and I live by it. So therefore, if He tells me something like, you know, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. That means for me to live by faith, I don't have the option of saying, well, that's not really for us today. Or that's not for our church. Or, you know, our denomination, I mean, it could happen, but we just don't believe that and we don't teach that. Then I can't live by faith. It's impossible for me to live by faith if I dismiss what God has said. And anybody who says, well, I'm living by faith, well, do you believe this verse? No, that's passed away. Well, do you believe in the ministry of the apostles? No. Once those apostles there died, there are no more apostles. Well, do you believe in the ministry of the prophet? No. Once all those fellows died out in the Bible, nope. We don't have that anymore. Then you can't live by faith. It's impossible. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you believe that God has divinely given this Bible to us? Well, yes, I do. Then you're supposed to be living by every word of it. Otherwise, you can't live by faith. Now, that doesn't mean you have to know and understand like some kind of, like the Apostle Paul, to know and understand every bit of it before you can live by faith. What it means is you don't dismiss any of it as you are growing in your understanding of it. You see what I'm getting at? Just like going to school in the natural world. You grow in your understanding of math and English and all those things. Well, we're growing as sincere, as babes in Christ. We're desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. So here I am, I'm taking the Word in. And by taking the Word in, I'm gaining in my understanding of it. And I'm making a decision, look, if this is the way it says, if this is what God told me, then well, that's what I do. That's what I live. This has to become me. There's no option here. Well, listen to this. Faith that has as its sole foundation the Word of God cannot ever fail. Now, there are people who are going to tell you, Christians, well, I was living by faith and just trusting God in faith, but it just didn't work out. What you're actually saying is the Word of God failed to produce. That's what you're saying. Well, that's not what I mean, but that's what you're saying. If you say, I am living by faith, it just didn't work, you're saying that the Word of God failed. God says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's how it is. There's no option. There's no other way. And I'm supposed to be living by faith. So, faith that has as its sole foundation, the Word of God cannot ever fail. But, faith that is one part the Word, one part religious tradition, one part worldly hope, and one part uncertainty will never produce 100% of God's will, promises, or plan for your life. You're mingling the Word. You've got three parts everything but the Word and one part Word. You are leavening the lump. It won't work. There are a lot of people, when you get around folks, you can kind of tell how, sometimes you can tell if they're living by faith or not. Sometimes, yes, I'm living by faith. And the way they say it, you can tell they're just kind of, they're being their religious, they're putting on the show. And they're trying to convince themselves, really. And they're trying to impress God. See there, God, I said all the right words. I'm living by faith. And then there are a lot of folks, you can tell they aren't by what they say. Well, I don't know, we believe in the healing and all, but I tell you what, it's a challenge. I said, wait a second. I understand challenges, sure. However, when you're living by faith, then what you speak is going to line up with what God has said. If God has said you lay hands on the sick and they recover, then that's what God said and that's what you say. Now, you might not have your faith developed to the point to where that is an ongoing, everyday reality in your life, but if that's what God said, then that's the way it is, whether you see it happening in your life right now, the Word's not going to change, but we can change to match the Word. Now, this whole thing of faith, where he says here in Romans that the just, we're supposed to be living by faith, faith is not just a system of belief, it is a lifestyle that transcends all nationalities and cultures. It is not just a system of belief. It is a lifestyle that transcends all nationalities and cultures. When you're living by faith, it doesn't matter where you are on earth, you will still get the same results because God's Word will produce. When you're living by faith, it doesn't matter your culture, your background, your skin color, your traditions. It doesn't matter. But the moment you begin introducing your culture and your traditions to the Word is when you are rendering the Word of none effect, and it can't produce faith. Because what you're trying to do is run the Word through how you've been raised, where you've been raised, how you've lived. You're running the Word through a filter that is keeping it from embedding itself into your life so that it can produce the faith you need to live by. And it's amazing. I've encountered people over the years, man, they can talk the talk until such and such happens. There are people out there, here in the United States, they're Christians, they're Spirit-filled, love the Lord, doing everything they can to serve Him. However, when it comes to the traditions of their culture, they hold to those traditions like an anchor holds a boat. And they don't let go. And I've actually had people want me to come and minister in their church. But because of the culture of their nationality, they realized I would not be welcome in their church because I'm not of the same culture. Is that prejudice or what? But they don't think of it like that. It's like, well, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, they're just kind of set in their ways. But then they're not set in the Bible. Because the Bible says there's no Jew, there's no Greek. So maybe I don't have the same accent when I speak. But the Word is still the Word no matter where you go. It's still the Word of God. I might need an interpreter to help me out, but it's still the Word of God, and that's not going to change. You can't live by faith if you're trying to live by something outside the Bible. It can't happen. Buddy, I'm telling you right now, that right there is the major stumbling block for a lot of Christians. But you just don't understand our traditions. Then you don't understand the Word of God. Your traditions might be okay. You know, you may have good traditions. But when you exalt those traditions above the Word of God, there is no way you will ever be able to live by faith. It can't happen. Well, look over in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Look here in verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It tells me right here that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. So if He says, you are to live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth, and if He says you're to live by faith, and if He says faith comes by hearing and hearing by my word, that is the only way it works. It does not work any other way. When folks tell you things like, well, you know, we had this tragedy, and boy, I'll tell you what, that really built my faith. No, it did not. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You walk by faith, you live by faith, you live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's the only way. There's no other option. Now, I want you to listen to this. Faith is not just believing God will do what He has promised. It is also believing God will not do what He has not established with His Word. See, we've been taught so much, you know, well, faith is believing that God's going to do what He said. Yeah, but faith is also believing God's not going to do what He hasn't said. Or that He's going to do what He never said. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, think of it like this. Well, you know what? The day is coming when everybody is going to be saved. That is not true. God never said that. Well, yes, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yeah, but the other part is that whosoever calleth upon Him will be saved. Remember? And then the other part, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And remember the other part? Ye must be born again. There's a bunch of parts in there. God never said that ultimately everybody would be reconciled to Jesus Christ. Remember that part there, all the way back at the end, where it says, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity? Now, that means living by faith realizes God is not changing. If He said, when I check the Lamb's Book of Life, if your name's not in there, you are going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. I can depend on that. Now, that sounds a little morbid, but what that means is, I know He's going to keep His word. That means when somebody stands up and starts telling me something that I can't find in Scripture, I know right away God is not going to do it. He is not going to move in a way that is not revealed here in Scripture. It's not going to happen. Living by faith is believing everything He has said, but also acknowledging He's not going to do something He never said. He's not going to move in a way that He never said. We were talking here this past Sunday about that whole thing of impartation and activation and so forth. God never said that His spiritual gifts and the ministry callings came through man. He never said that. He said the spiritual gifts come by the Holy Spirit. He said the ministry callings come by Jesus Christ. That's it! That means I know it doesn't matter what a preacher says. I can go up in that prayer line and they can lay hands on me, but God is not turning these things over to man. Means I'm not going to receive it from men. It's not going to happen. Now listen, there are preachers out there who are going to take passages of Scripture and they will make it sound so right and so good and convince so many Christians going on today to come up here and get in this line, and when I lay hands on you, there's going to be this impartation of God's call upon your life. No! No! Living by faith is living by the assurance that if it's not in here, God won't do it. If I can't see a reference to it, God won't do it. That means I can depend on Him no matter what. And the people out there that get off base with all this stuff, that's how I know they're off base. No matter how convincing they are, it's not recorded in the Word of God. And those folks are wrong. You know, God loves them. We know that. But they're still wrong. Well, anyway, look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And this one that I'm getting ready to read, For me personally, I found this one particularly interesting. Matthew chapter 17. And what's happened, there's been the Jesus, James, Peter, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, you know, He became glistening white, and they came down, and there was this fellow there, his son had this devil, and the other disciples were trying to cast it out, and they couldn't. So Jesus cast the thing out, and the disciples got around Jesus, and they said, okay, you know, help us understand something. Why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said, verse 20, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So what's happened is a lot of people have twisted this, and they made it sound like, well, if you're going to cast devils out of somebody, you need to spend a time of fasting before you go try to cast that devil out. Okay, but what about in the meantime? Don't they need that devil cast out now? I mean, what, do I fast for a day, a week, a month? 40 days before I go back to him and say, okay, I'm ready. Well, if you don't fast, the devil won't come out. No, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say because you haven't fasted. He said because of your unbelief. Why couldn't this thing come out? Here's why, because you have not fasted. It's not what it says. It says because of your unbelief. And then he says, look, if your faith is like a grain of mustard seed, you know what? You'll be able to say to a mountain, remove, go to yonder place, it will remove, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, people want to debate, did he mean literally speak to a mountain and it, you know, hops across the forest or something? You know what? How about this? Let's not even think in terms of a literal mountain. How about this? Nothing shall be impossible. See this? Nothing shall, in other words, the things that you perceive as being impossible. Why nobody can move a mountain? Why not? That's impossible. Aha. Well, what do you think is impossible? Why, when the doctor tells you you've got, you know, Sasquatch disease, why, that's just it. It's over. Make your plans. And no. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Why, I just can't find a job anywhere. There ain't no jobs out there. Do you need a job? I need a job. Nothing shall be impossible to you. I don't know what we're going to do. We need a car. There ain't no cars. We can't afford a car. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, if you need a car, you're not going to pick up your kid's Hot Wheels and say, in the name of Jesus, be a real car. No, that's not going to work. You with me? But what he says is, if your faith is like a grain of mustard seed. So people look at that and say, aha, here's what I'll do. I'll go buy one of those necklaces that has a little mustard seed in acrylic and I'll hang it around my neck. Faith, you see? Faith, mustard seed. No. That's not what he's talking about. He didn't, look at this. You know, it's amazing how we can read it and ignore it and go with what the guy up front says. He said, if your faith was as a grain of mustard seed. He didn't say if you have little faith. Teeny faith. He said, look, if your faith's like the grain of mustard seed. Well, what is there about the mustard seed? Well, back up and you'll see what he taught them previously. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, he says, verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Aha! Well, let's see something about this mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. When Jesus, back over there in chapter 17, said, if your faith was as a grain of mustard seed, it's like he was saying, do you guys remember what I told you about the mustard seed? Remember how it has to be planted? And once it's planted, it begins to grow. Growing is a process. But when it does finally grow, even though it was smaller than everything around it when it started, it finally grew to where it was bigger than everything around it. If your faith is like that, then you're going to do what's necessary to cause your faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, and you build yourself up praying in tongues. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. So I take the Word of God and the sower sows the Word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I sow and I sow and I sow and I sow. And what's happening? Faith is growing, if you will. And then eventually what's going to happen is that mountain, the impossible thing, it's going to move. You say, well, Brother Martin, that just sounds good. And boy, I'll tell you what, you know, you just make it sound wonderful. But, no, there's no but. Jesus said, did he not? He said, if your faith is like this, the day is going to come, nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing. Now listen. The greatest victory is not when the mountain moved when you spoke to it. The greatest victory is when you finally conquered the flesh and stayed in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word long enough to develop the faith necessary to move the mountain. Because once you get your faith at that point, moving the mountain is no big deal. We want to rejoice over the mountain that got moved. And God is saying, I don't think you get it. You have to beat the flesh to stay in there for that faith to develop so that you can move the mountain. Moving the mountain is really just the fruit of the developed faith. The real battle is not the mountain. The real battle is with my flesh that doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to get into the Word, doesn't want to worship, doesn't want to do any of this stuff, especially doesn't want to do that fasting thing. But he says, look, if you get that faith to grow, you know what? Nothing will be impossible to you. So it's really interesting. In that passage there in Matthew, Jesus was not implying that moving the mountain was the big battle. He was saying the big battle is getting your faith to develop. Anybody can speak to a mountain, but if your faith's not developed to move the mountain, you and I both know nothing happens. So again, the greatest victory is not when the mountain moved when you spoke to it. The greatest victory is when you finally conquered the flesh and stayed in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word long enough to develop the faith necessary to move the mountain. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 5. Some of these things that I'm sharing with, well really, to a certain extent, all of these things that I'm sharing with you tonight are things about faith that really have not been taught that much in the church. We've just been taught, confess the Word, but think about it, if your confession is not based upon what's been developed on the inside of you, then you're kind of like a tape recorder. Well, I don't know who uses tape recorders anymore. You know, you're kind of like, you know, you record something on your phone or whatever, you just play it over and over again. It's like you're just parroting something. It's not coming out of the life that God's Word produces on the inside of us. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now look over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And where he says, be careful for nothing, I mean, that literally is saying, be anxious, worried, upset, troubled, fretful about nothing. Nothing. So he says in the one place, cast all your care over unto Him. Humble yourself before God and cast all your care over unto Him. And then he says, don't worry about anything. Don't get upset about anything. Don't get fretful. Don't get, you know, whatever. Don't let it get to you. Don't. Here's why. When we let it get to us, who are we really trusting? Us. When you get upset over something, a situation, whatever it is, problem, when you get upset about it, what you're really saying is, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I gotta figure something out really fast. Because this just isn't good. And God is saying, well, what about me? Hey, what about me up here? Humble yourself before me. Admit you just don't know what to do and you're just not going to figure it out. Not the way you should. And then cast the care of it over onto me and be anxious for nothing. Listen to this. Living by faith includes truly casting the cares of life over onto the Father and leaving them there. You know, when he says to cast the care, he doesn't mean, you know, loan them to me for a little bit and then take them back. No, cast it. Cast it, meaning release it. Send it forth so far away from you, you can't reach it again. Living by faith includes truly casting the cares of life over onto the Father and leaving them there. Worrying about a problem is failure to believe that God has the answer. God has never had to rely on anyone to come up with a solution, but He is always prepared to share the solution with those who trust Him. Who would He go to? Who knows more? He's it. He knows the beginning from the end, so He already knows what to do. When I'm living by faith, then I'm going to believe He has the answer. Now, you and I both know, every one of us have been at those places in life where we've been facing that something. And we get that antsy, anxious, worked up, what am I going to do feeling on the inside. And we do everything we can not to show it on the outside. But sometimes we do that as well. And we try. We say, well, I'm just trusting God. But we're not, because we sit around. How many times have you laid in bed at night, worked up on the inside, trying to figure it out? Now, there's nothing wrong with laying in bed at night, talking to God about it. But the moment you feel the anxious on the inside, then you're not really, what you're basically doing is telling God what He needs to do. God, you hang around here. I think I'm going to come up with a solution and I'll tell you what you need to do. God says, why don't you just go to sleep? Cast the care of it over. How many of you have gone through nights, you wake up in the morning, you know you didn't sleep well because of it? You didn't cast the care over onto Him. You didn't. Because He says, be careful for nothing. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, it's going to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, you know what? That's convicting. Because I'll be the first to admit, there are too many times when I have let things, you know, get to me, and then I get upset, and I'm not casting the care over on Him like I should. Go to bed, you know, all worked up on the inside. Don't sleep well. Wake up in the morning. For about half a second, everything's okay. Then you remember, oh man. Then you're upset again. That's not casting the care. Now let's just be honest here. Sometimes you go to cast the care and it feels like the thing's hooked to your hand with a rubber band. It's like, take it, God, boing, it comes back. Take it, God, boing, it comes back. That's because we're really not trusting God. Now look, we live in a world, sadly we live in a Christian atmosphere that really hasn't taught us to cast the care of the problems over onto the Lord. We hear things, well, let's put our heads together. What's that going to do? Now you're just going to have four people worked up. Now listen, I need to put my head together with God. You cast the care over, and then you have to fight the good fight of faith. No, I'm not worried about this. No, I'm not going to get upset about this. I thank You, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding. I am not going to get worked up over that. You already have the answer. So I'd make a decision to open my heart and my mind to receive that answer from You. Listen, my own experiences, and I've got some that I can't share with you publicly, but I've gone through things, and I've had a lot of helpful input from a lot of people. Now, they're trying to help me, and they mean well. I have to cast that aside, too. And I have to keep going to God. Sometimes, many times throughout the day. God, I'm trusting You. I'm telling You, God, I cast this over. Keep doing that. And sometimes I literally have to out loud just start praising Him and start worshiping Him. And I'm telling you what, I've learned this works. That's living by faith. Trusting that He's got the answer, whether I know it or not. But not only that, trusting that He has the answer and that He can work this thing out and I don't even have to know how. What if he doesn't want me to know? In other words, what if he doesn't want me to know all the details? That's okay. Fine. Just as long as it get resolved and it's in your hands, Father. I'm not carrying this burden. My shoulders aren't that big. I'm not that smart. I'm trusting you. That's living by faith. And I'm telling you, that can be hard work sometimes. But it's worth it. And you learn in the process. Well, let's look at another place here. Ephesians chapter 10. Did I say chapter 10? No, chapter 6. Verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now think about what he just said there. And then he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for, what does it say? We war not in the flesh. Oh boy, mental. Okay, let's look at it. Before I embarrass myself anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Yeah, I knew I could remember it as long as I read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Many Christians seem to think we walk in the flesh and, bless God, we war after the flesh. No. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And he says there in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of the might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the people that sit next to you in church. No! He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Or a lot of Christians would like to change that. Oh, yes, we do. And until those people leave this church, we're going to. Now he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the devil's kingdom. Say it like this, you know, his army, if you want to simplify it. Put on the armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil. Do you realize what he's saying here? Well, relative to this message, let me read this to you. No matter how much you develop your faith, you will never be able to use faith to alter the will of another person. You know, if we just get that settled, we sure wouldn't fuss with people as much. You're not going to alter their will. I told you to sit down. I'm not going to sit down. I said sit down. I'm not going to sit down. If you don't sit down, I'm going to wear you out. They sit down. But their will is not to sit down. They just don't want to hurt. You think you've won the battle. No, you haven't. Because you're going to go through this again. And sometimes, you know, wives just have to get a little stern with their husbands. Okay, sorry. No matter how much you develop your faith, you will never be able to use faith to alter the will of another person. It's not going to happen. Ever. But we've all been guilty of trying, haven't we? And then we ask God to get in on it with us. Oh, God, make them repent. Oh, God, save Uncle Joe. And God's saying, okay. Just as soon as Uncle Joe calls upon the name of the Lord, I will save him. Oh, God, why aren't you doing anything? Because you're asking me to do something I won't do. Well, I don't understand. I've been praying and praying and God just ain't moving. I just don't understand this. And you'll find Christians who agree with you. I know, I prayed too. He never done nothing I ever asked. God's up in heaven saying, you ever think about what you ask? You're asking amiss. Remember what you heard earlier in this sermon. I will not do anything that I haven't said in my Word. I won't go outside it. That's how you know you can trust me.
But God, I'd rather you do it my way.
Well, then create your own universe. Do things your own way. No matter how much you develop your faith, you will never be able to use faith to alter the will of another person. Faith for warfare is to do battle against Satan and his hierarchy, not to destroy or tear down others. When we talk about we're in spiritual warfare, a lot of Christians, what they mean is, I'm having an argument with dear Brother Jones. Or Sister Smith and I, well, you know, she's just out there somewhere. The truth of the matter is, if we would redirect our animosity toward the enemy, and listen, if you've got a Christian, they're just not acting right. I mean, they're just not, it's obvious that what they're displaying are characteristics not outlined in Scripture describing a Christian. You can do warfare against whatever demonic powers are impacting them. That you can do. But you're not going to change their will. Do you want to know why lost people don't get saved quicker? You say, you know what? I've been witnessing to Grandpa for 11 years and he's still... Yeah, tell me. It's because Grandpa is still blinded to the need for salvation. But I've told him over and over and over. Yeah, you have. He's still blinded to the need for salvation. But I told him. He can't. He is still blind. Listen, if somebody comes to the realization, and I mean wide-eyed, just they know it. If I don't ask Jesus into my heart, I'm a sinner, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to burn forever. If you can get somebody to understand that concept, then they're going to get saved. Or they're just completely stupid. Then you need to pray for a brain healing. But once a person comes to the realization they have no hope in eternity other than Jesus, and they really come to that understanding, they're going to get saved. Flat out, they're going to. That's why they're not saved. They don't believe it no matter what you say. They just don't believe it. Well, then we get upset at them. How can they be so dumb? How can they be? Don't they know they're going to hell? Don't they know they need Jesus? No. You've told them. I feel like I'm talking to a wall. Well, you kind of are. Because they got a wall built between you and them. Intercede against whatever demonic powers are operating in their life. Well, I just don't know why them kids of mine are doing them things. Don't they know that sin? I raised them better than that. They went to church and they're still doing that. I do not. That is because they are blinded to the reality of what they're doing. They just don't understand. What they don't really understand is holiness. Well, there's a bunch of Christians don't understand that. Holy living. I mean, they really don't understand. That's when it comes down. They're blinded to it. Well, they didn't used to be blinded to it. Yeah, well, they gave place to the devil. How'd they do that? I don't know. But it happened. Now, do warfare against the lying devils that have deceived them. See, that's what, when you live by faith, you realize The battle is against the principalities, the powers, and all of that. That's where the battle lies. There are Christians out there, oh goodness, you want to get me fired up? All these Christians out there and the way they talk about our president, don't they understand? No, they don't. They don't understand. He is blinded spiritually to what's going on. Listen, this is going to shock a lot of people. That's the only problem. That's it. He's blinded spiritually to the stuff that's going on. Why, he just wants to tear this country down. Okay, let's say that he does. He's blinded spiritually to what he's doing. Oh, he knows what he's doing. No, he doesn't. Compare what he's doing to the Word of God. Do they measure up? Well, of course not. Then he's blinded. It's very simple. So what Christians do is they throw their verbal trash in his direction instead of realizing they're entertaining Satan as they do. And Satan says, just keep doing that because what you're doing is completely contrary to the Word of God. You're speaking things that open the door for me to continue to blind. So just keep doing it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate all that help, especially coming from you Christians, because you're the ones who have been given the authority in creation. Thank you very much. Christians don't realize it. They're helping him. Helping Satan. The president is blind. It's spiritual blindness. That's all it is. If he could get his eyes open, if we could warfare against all those devils where he could see what's really going on, I don't believe the guy on purpose would keep doing it. Why in the world would you want to keep doing things that are in opposition to God when you finally understand what God really wants and what He'll really do in your life? Living by faith looks beyond what seems to be the obvious and realizes the battle is not with people. The battle is with demonic forces. The battle is with the kingdom of darkness, if you want to say it that way. All of these things that I've shared tonight are aspects of living by faith that, quite frankly, I don't know that I've ever heard. Well, I've heard them taught, but not like this. Like, you know, collectively, in one place, one time. This is a whole different way of looking at living by faith. But it is living by faith. And now, I told you at the beginning of the message that I was going to share with you the one book of the Bible that contains more spiritual meat than any other book in all the Bible. Now, when I tell you the name of this book, some people may say, oh, give me a break. No, this is it. You ready? 1 John. 1 John.
I thought it was Corinthians, 1 Corinthians.
Dude, 1 Corinthians was written to baby Christians. Paul said, I wish I could give you meat, but I can't. I have to keep giving you milk. 1 Corinthians is a milk book.
Well, I can't believe that. I hardly understand anything past the first verse.
It's a milk book. Let me give you an example about 1 John. Now, I didn't say that to be funny. I'm serious. 1 John has more meat than any other book in the entire Bible.
Well, now, Brother Martin, I think that's kind of silly. All he does is talk about love.
Hey! You're catching on. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 16. Almost right in the middle of that verse. God is love. God is love. God loves, but He loves because He is love. He is love. This is not human love. 1 Corinthians, you know the deepest part of 1 Corinthians? Chapter 13 when it's talking about love. Because in that, we read it as like, oh, love is patient and love is kind and love is. We read it at weddings and, you know, mama's crying, all this other. And what we think in terms of is people-loving people. No, no, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's the meatiest part of that entire book, and what he's talking about is God's love. He's describing how God loves us. Now here he says, God is love. This whole book in 1 John, when he's talking about loving your brother and all those kind of things, he's not talking about, well, you know, like giving a dog a milk bone or something like that. No, he's not talking about human love. Walking little old ladies across the street whether they want to go or not. He's talking about the God kind of love. That's the love he's talking about here in 1 John. That's why if you get 1 John settled on the inside of you, okay, I'll go home tonight and I'll read it. No, I don't think you get it. It's going to take a while to get it settled on the inside. I mean, you have to meditate, you know, read it start to finish. It won't take but 10 minutes. Read it start to finish over and over and over and over and over until it's, you know, coming out your nostrils like the quail in the Old Testament with the juice. Just read it over and over and over and just pray in tongues. Just keep reading, keep meditating, keep reading. I got to do more of it myself. When this hits home, then you're going to realize how much of this book you don't understand. Then you're going to start sowing more and sowing more. Now, when it begins to take hold, then you're going to understand about laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. Then you're going to start understanding about the miracles. You're going to understand more about praying in tongues than you ever have before. You're going to understand about worship more than you ever have. Because the ultimate goal is to get the revelation and the understanding of this kind of love. Then everything else just starts falling into place. You read this book and you think, come on, man. I need something I can sink my teeth into. That's because we read it through the filter of human comprehension and understanding. We don't realize this is talking about supernatural love that originates only with God and cannot be conjured up in a human being. It can only be developed once it has been sown into that human by God. 1 John is the meatiest book in the entire Bible. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that kind of motivates me to want to read it a little bit more. I hope this has helped you understand about faith. And really, it takes faith to believe what I just said about 1 John. But I hope this has helped you understand what living in faith, living by faith means a little bit more than maybe what you understood. So listen, everybody, go ahead and stand.